We're going to go to one of Paul's letters. In fact, it's the very last letter of the Apostle Paul, 2 Timothy, the last stitch of Scripture that the Apostle Paul was used of God to pen. And so 2 Timothy this morning, if you take your Bibles there, we're going to talk, Lord willing, this week and next week about how to live in perilous times. How to live in perilous times. We'll be reading some verses here from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 beginning. 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 1. If you find your place there and follow along, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these words penned by the Apostle Paul through the guidance of the Holy Spirit in that jail cell in Rome. Lord, we're thankful for your Holy Scripture that is applicable for us today. I pray that you'd guide and help us to glean and take home the truths from this passage that we will look at in the first several chapters of this book. Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word, that the Holy Spirit would guide and direct our steps in even more specific ways than we will even talk about here this morning. Father, that we would be what you want us to be in this time, that we would bring the hope of Christ to a hopeless world. To those bound with fear, I pray that you'd give them courage and trust in the Savior. Lord, we're thankful for this. In Jesus' name, amen. How to live in perilous times. As the Apostle Paul wrote here, as I've already stated, this is the last letter that Paul wrote. And you know, as he wrote here, he writes about perilous times. These are troublesome times, dangerous times, is the word troubles, or is the word perilous means. Dangerous and troublesome. And certainly we, in the last 2 years or so, have been very familiar with perilous times. We've seen all kinds of different crises and disasters that have come on the world stage. We've seen a breakdown in our country in high-speed ways, a breakdown of our government, of the gross overreach and the disregard for our Constitution and the corruption of our elections and the breakdown of law and order in our streets and our cities. And we've seen such despicable things happening in our country and even on a global level with the debauchery in Afghanistan and the wokeness even of churches, where churches professing Christ are going in the vein of the social justice type of gospel, and this departure from the biblical truth and the biblical faith. We've seen so much of this. And then, of course, with the virus around the planet, and not just the virus, but then the mandates, the restrictions of our rights under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We've seen the censorship of speech and all these things on the rise. Our world is in a tailspin, and it's in a global sense, not just one country, although the United States is certainly in crisis at this time. But you know what? Through all of this, how should we live? What does the Bible say about how we can live, how we ought to live? The Apostle Paul was no stranger to perilous times. Even as he wrote here about how perilous times would come in the last days, Paul himself experienced plenty of perils, plenty of perilous times in his life. Notice in chapter 3 here, he says in verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. You see, in Antioch, he was expelled, Acts 13:50 tells us. In Iconium, he fled for his life, Acts 14, verse 5 and 6. In Lystra, he was stoned and dragged out as dead, in chapter 14 of Acts, verse 19. Persecutions and afflictions, Paul says, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Paul says in verse 12, yea, and all that live godly, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Those who live godly shall suffer. And I believe the intensity of that is going to only increase as we get into these last days. Paul, soon after, he penned the words of 2 Timothy. In approximately AD 66, this book is attributed as. It was perhaps just the next year. 67 is generally the date that is indicated from when Paul was beheaded under Nero's persecution. Great persecution went on further to many other believers, many other Christians. Nero used Christians as torches to light the streets of Rome. The Colosseum, the place there, Christians were used in sport games for wild animals to devour as the crowd cheered. But Paul, as Fox's Book of Martyrs records, was beheaded for his testimony of Christ. These are his last words. He says in chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, I am now ready to be offered. He knew his time was close. He was writing this from a dank, damp jail cell. And we have here a picture here, just this, an artist's idea here, as Paul may have been penning right there in that jail. But then the next picture is an actual photograph of where it is attributed Paul probably was. And we don't know that for absolutely certain, but it's attributed there. And that is a dark jail cell, and down in the ground, in the stone, it was cold. It was not like the relatively comfortable prison cells some experience today. This was very, very dark, cold. One who went and just visited this place recently spoke of how cold it was. Paul, of course, wrote for them to bring his coat. Notice in chapter 4, he says in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. Verse 13, as he writes to Timothy, he says, the cloak that I left at Troas, my coat that I left with Corpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. Could you bring my coat? And the books, but especially the parchments. And so Paul, here sitting in a jail cell, suffering, was rejoicing. He was seeking at this time to write to Timothy, a young pastor, one that he had spent many years mentoring, one who had traveled with him in the mission trips around these towns, one who now is the pastor in Ephesus. If you'll notice right at the end of the book, many times your Bible, the King James has this listed here. It's not a verse. It's just added as a note right at the end of 2 Timothy, right after verse 22 of chapter 4. It says, "The second epistle unto Timotheus, ordained the first bishop of the church of the Ephesians, was written from Rome when Paul was brought before Nero the second time." And so we can see in this jail cell, as Paul writes these words, he writes to a pastor who was discouraged, a pastor who was distraught amongst the burden of ministry, amongst the false teachings that were pervading in that day. And it seems that Timothy was discouraged. And Paul writes from a jail cell on death row to encourage him. And so let's look at this here together. And I before that, I was going to go through some of the characteristics of what he said perilous times would be like. We read the verses, so let's go back to chapter 3 now and see what these perilous times are prophesied to be like. What will they be like in the last days? What will be the characteristics of the last days? Well, I want you to see, first of all, it says here in verse 2, "Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers." We see that people are going to be self-centered, selfish. Self-centered, selfish times these will be. Self-centered, selfish times, lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. We see also that there is going to be a breakdown of respect for God and others. What will characterize the last days? A breakdown of respect for God and others. It says that they will be blasphemers. They will be disobedient to their parents. They will be unthankful, ungrateful people. They will so despise even the giver. Even someone who goes out of their way to do something nice, they will be unthankful for it. Ungrateful people. And so we see a breakdown of respect for God and others. It also says they will be unholy. Unholy. They will have no respect for that which is sacred. We see also what will characterize the last days. Verse 3 says, as I've put in my words, they will be reckless and hateful times. So we've seen these last days will be self-centered, selfish times. There's going to be a breakdown of respect for God and others. They will be reckless and hateful times. It says here they will be without natural affection. The normal, the natural love of people will not be there. They will be cold, ruthless. It says they will be truce breakers. They will not keep their promises. They will not keep their word. It says they'll be false accusers. They'll bring slander against others. It says they will be incontinent. This is void of any self-control. Out of control. Incontinent. It says they will be fierce. The word here, the idea is to be savage. They will be despisers of those that are good. Reckless and hateful times these last days are described as. They are described here further in verse 4 as truthless, irrational times. It says people will be traitors. They will be heady. That means that their selfishness, their pride will so cloud their vision that they will be irrational, heady, high-minded, blinded by conceit. Also goes on further to describe them in the middle of verse 4, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. There's going to be a pleasure-worshipping empty Christianity. In the last days, Paul, how will it be characterized? Well, God revealed to me, Paul says, that there will be pleasure-worshipping empty Christians. Pleasure worshiping empty Christians, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, verse 5 says, but powerless, denying the power thereof. And Timothy is instructed to turn away from these things, the corruptions of the end times. In times like these, how should we live? How should we live? Let's go back now to chapter 1. Timothy, again, was evidently battling with discouragement. The road was hard in pastoring the church there at Ephesus. There was so much false doctrine. There were false teachers rising up. There was troublemakers. There were sinners that were corrupting people. And it was a difficult time, a very difficult time. And as Paul writes, we pick up here in verse number 6, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And so here we find Timothy evidently struggling some, and Paul writing here in this second letter to him and encouraging him and encouraging him to remember his calling. Remember his calling, verse 6. Paul said, stir up the gift of God. It seems that the flames of his zeal for God were growing cold, and he was cowering some in fear and not wanting to step out because it was treacherous, it was dangerous. Verse 7, Paul says, fear not. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Timothy, as any of us could, struggle with fear. When times are difficult, when oppressive people are breathing down your neck, when everything is going awry, and when it seems no one cares for the truth anymore, we might be tempted to just hang back, lay low. Not stick your neck out. Not engage in our world. But that's not what Paul says. Paul says to Timothy, remember your calling. Timothy, you've been ordained to the ministry. Timothy, you're a servant of God. Stir up the gift of God, which is in you. Verse 7. Don't fear. God's not given us this spirit, but he's given us the spirit of his power, of love, and of a sound mind. Timothy, with God's help, you can. You can serve God. With God's help, you can love people. He says there, God's given us the spirit of love. You think Timothy had been burned a few times? You think there's some people who had stabbed him in the back? There's some people who did him wrong that he labored for. And he says, Paul writes and says, Timothy, God's given you the strength. God's given you the spirit of his heart for people. You can love them. God has given you a sound mind, the spirit of a sound mind. Timothy, you can have the divine focus of God to do his will. You can have a wholesome brain, disciplined mind to stay on track. How does a soldier carry out his duties when he knows he's entering into harm's way, he's entering into dangerous territory, he may lose his very life or be maimed? He must have a sound mind. Focus. A similar thing Paul writes here to Timothy, of course, with the utmost dependence upon God. We don't have to cower in fear. I remember what God said to Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, remember? He said to Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua was to lead the people into the promised land, but there were giants in that land. But there was difficulty in that land. There were battles they were going to have to face. And God said, Joshua, be strong and of a good courage. I've given you this land. There will be battles to fight, but with my strength you will have the victory. And he encouraged him to meditate on the scripture and to press forward. You see, this instruction the apostle gives to Timothy of not fearing is not, okay, Timothy, just sit down, just calm down. You don't need to be afraid. That's not the spirit we have here. Paul was saying, Timothy, move forward for Jesus. Timothy, you need to stay in the fight. Timothy, you need to grab the bull by the horns and head forward into danger. Stand for God. Don't cower down. There are false teachers that are corrupting people. They're overthrowing the faith of some. We read about in that scripture verses that we're working on from 2 Timothy. And overthrow the faith of some false teachers. But you know what? The truth of God standeth sure. The foundation of God stands sure. And so Timothy is encouraged here to step forward. And so how are we to live in perilous times? Number one, we're not supposed to hunker down. We're not supposed to back off. We're supposed to go forward for Christ. Fear not. And courageously obey God. Fear not. And courageously obey God. Step forward to follow God's call for your life. What has He called you to? Timothy was called as a pastor here in Ephesus. But what's your calling? If you're saved, you're a servant of God. I'm a servant of God. God wants you to be a light, just like He wants me to be a light. Just like Timothy was to be a light. Just like Paul was a light. God wants us to live for Jesus, proactive in this world, to advance the cause of Christ. It is not time for us to merely set up a flag and stake our claim. It's time for us to continue forward, to preach the gospel to a lost and dying world, to bring the hope of Jesus to people who are without hope and without help. Be not ashamed. Paul wrote here in verse 8. Notice that. Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord. Now, I don't know if Timothy was ashamed, but it almost seems to indicate that there was a drawback. I don't want to stick my neck out. I don't want everybody to, I don't want to engage with people who hate me and don't, who are likely to persecute me. But yet that's what God says. And of course, in a spirit of love, spirit of strength, spirit of love, spirit of a wholesome mind, engage with people. And so notice verse 8, not only be not ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. You know, there was some reason perhaps to distance yourself from Paul. I mean, his outlook, his prognosis didn't look good. He was headed to death. But you know what Paul says in the middle of verse 8? He says, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. You see, this wasn't fear not, sit down, lay low. No, this was fear not, step forward, possess the land. And so, God has called us with a holy calling. Look at verse 9. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. God has called us, just like He's called Timothy. God has called us to follow Him, to advance the cause of Christ in Jesus' name, in this world, in 2021. And so we must continue forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice verse 11. Paul says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things." Paul says, Timothy, you're going to suffer. You want to notice this? I point out again, he doesn't say, Timothy, fear not. Everything's going to be cool. Fear not, Timothy. You're not going to hurt. Fear not, Timothy. Everything's going to go well for you. It's actually the opposite. He says, Timothy, fear not. Step out and take part in the afflictions. He says, Timothy, step out and suffer like I'm suffering. Verse 12, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Timothy, don't be ashamed. I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And so, here we find the admonishment for us to not fear and courageously step forward and obey God. This is the calling. In perilous times, we are to hold forth the bright light of Christ, the hope of the world. Secondly, this morning, I want to point out in chapter 1, verse 13, notice those words. The Bible says, hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you know what I've taught you. Timothy, you've been with me when I was preaching. You know the message I preach. You know the love I've demonstrated to people, the love of Jesus. He says, Timothy, you need to hold fast to the true message of Christ, to the form of sound words. The idea here is to actively hold on to the pattern of wholesome words. Hold on. Of course, Paul is talking about holding on to the truth of God, to the truth of the Scripture. For in chapter 2, look at verse 15, he goes on to encourage Timothy to study. Timothy, you need to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Timothy, hold dear the Bible. Timothy, love the word of God, and not just loving the word of God, but study it and rightly divide it. You need to interpret it correctly. The false teachers all read Scripture. Oh, yes. Just about any false teacher I've ever come in contact with reads the Bible. They read Scripture to you. Well, they misinterpret it. Well, they misuse it and misapply it. And God is saying here through the Apostle Paul, Timothy, hold on to the Scripture, to a correct and honest interpretation of the passages of the Bible. False teachers will come. Notice chapter 2, verse 16, he says to Timothy, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. These false teachers who have misinterpreted the word of God and are not holding to a sound doctrine and wholesome words, they are overthrowing and turning aside younger Christians. Verse 19, nevertheless the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Depart from your own will, your own selfish ambitions, and follow Christ and follow his word. You see, the Scripture isn't something for me to try to find support for what I believe, but the Scripture is for me to study and search and let the truth of it come out and shape what I believe. Too many have already cemented their doctrine, or maybe it's not so cemented, but because it always changes, but they've grabbed a hold of something they thought sounded really good, and they've come to try to find and support it by a couple of verses that they can bend. And they derail the faith of some. And this is what was happening in Ephesus, and Timothy's ministry, and Paul writes about this and encourages him to stand for the truth and to be a student of the Bible, to rightly divide the word of truth. Verse 13 of chapter 1, once again, he says, hold fast. This is in the active, it's hold fast like a rock climber holds to the side of the mountain. Hold on. It's not like, okay, yeah, I've been there, done that, read that. No, grab a hold of it for your life. Hold fast to the pattern, to the form of wholesome preaching, honest words, wholesome doctrine. Timothy had the example of Paul. Paul preached biblical messages. Paul rightly and faithfully interpreted God's revealed truth. And Paul writes to Timothy to keep preaching the Word of God. Notice in chapter 2, he says in verse 3, endure hardness. This second point, which is our final point this morning, is hold biblical truth tightly and endure hardness. Hold biblical truth tightly and endure hardness. Timothy is told in verse 3 of chapter 2, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Timothy, if you hold to the truth, if you are a biblical Christian, the road will be hard. It's going to be difficult. You need to endure hardness like a soldier must endure hardness. Verse 4 says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Timothy, there needs to be a focus on doing the will of God, that you may please him who hath chosen you to be a soldier. We need to please God, not people. We need to please God, not ourselves. We must be faithful. We must endure hardship for Christ's sake. A soldier requires discipline, and so does the Christian life. Paul gives personal testimony. In verse 8, chapter 2, verse 8, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. He says to Timothy, he says, you remember what I've preached? You remember the message I've preached? It's the true message. That Jesus Christ, the seed of David, was raised from the dead. I'm in jail. I'm imprisoned. I'm on death row. Because I've stood for the truth of Jesus. Verse 9, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. What do we do in perilous times? What do we do? Well, we see that we must fear not and courageously obey God. It is time for us to step forward, to advance the cause of Christ. It's not time to retreat, to hunker down in a bunker, but time to step forward in advancing the cause of Christ and being proactive in proclaiming God's truth. Courageously obey God. What is God asking you to do in your family? What is God's calling on your life? Oh, we can't do that at this time, you know. Or what? Well, follow God's direction, God's timing. What is God's will? God has not given us a spirit of fear. We need to courageously obey. And secondly, hold biblical truth tightly and endure hardness. More and more in the end times, the biblical Christian will be hated. That's what the Bible tells us. In those selfish, self-centered times, in the perilous times, the troublesome times, where there's a breakdown of respect for God and others, where they despise those that are good, these are reckless and hateful times. People are false accusers. They're fierce. They're truce breakers. They're traitors. They're heady. They're high-minded. They've got their form of godliness. And in that, they will willingly destroy you practicing the biblical faith. You see, Timothy was facing some real trial, persecution. But he was faithful. He received the words the apostle wrote to him. Will we receive? Will we live for Jesus in these perilous times? I believe that more and more it's becoming evident that we are in the last days. Are we willing to be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel? Are we willing to be a biblical Christian, to hold tightly to God's truth? May God help us. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the admonition the apostle gave from prison through the Holy Spirit to Timothy and to us. Help us to receive these words, and Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us to recognize how important it is for us to live for you. Not for ourselves, not for our comforts, not for our safety, but for Jesus. For the lives of those who are perishing without Christ. May we be a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen.